Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Of all of President Donald Trump's policies and changes, his most lasting impact may be his administration's effort to remake the judiciary branch. And we've talked on this show about how the president is appointing young, quite conservative people to all levels of the federal court system. Among them is Alison Jones Rushing. She may be the epitome of this policy. She's 36 and, as of yesterday, is the youngest federal judge in the country. The Senate confirmed her to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in a 53-44 vote. With us to talk about Rushing and the state of the judiciary overall is Zoe Tillman, legal reporter with BuzzFeed News. Hey, Zoe.
Thanks for having me on.
So what more do we know about Alison Jones Rushing?
Now, Judge Rushing, who was confirmed yesterday by the Senate, is an appellate lawyer in Washington. She works for the law firm Williams & Connolly. She has been confirmed to a seat on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, which covers sort of the southern Mid-Atlantic region. She's actually been confirmed for a seat normally reserved for judges from North Carolina. Now, Judge Rushing was born in North Carolina, but she doesn't live there. She's not barred to practice in North Carolina. She's a Washington lawyer, but nevertheless has been confirmed to that seat. She's 36, which makes her now the youngest federal judge in the country, not just federal appeals judge, but federal judge writ large. She has a very conservative background. She clerked for conservative judges, for U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and is expected to be a conservative jurist.
Now, she fits this pattern of the Trump administration's judicial nominations. Often they are young and conservative. Can you tell us a little bit more about that strategy?
This has been a priority for the Trump administration really since the campaign. You know, you may recall that then-candidate Trump released a list of Supreme Court possibilities during the campaign, which was largely unheard of at the point that he did that. And his list was young, conservative judges from across the country. It was something that was compiled with help from the Federalist Society, which is a conservative lawyers group. And the idea was really to telegraph to conservatives, you know, you may have concerns about me, Trump, for other reasons, but look, I am going to put solidly conservative judges on the bench for decades. These are judges who, if they get on in their 40s, they have life tenure. They could be on the bench for 4 or 5 decades to come. So this was sort of meant to get nervous Republicans on the fence for Trump. And then it's just been a top priority for this White House from the moment he took office.
You mentioned the Federalist Society's role in this. If you could just remind our listeners what they do and how much influence they've actually had over that list of suggested judges from the president.
The Federalist Society is the nation's sort of preeminent conservative lawyers group. And where they've been really successful is building a pipeline for young conservative lawyers starting in law school through early in their careers, the middle of their careers, and ultimately onto the federal bench or powerful positions in government when a Republican is in the White House. The relationship between Republican administrations and this group are so close that the group's executive vice president, Leonard Leo, is actually a close advisor to President Trump on nominations. So we've seen the majority of circuit court judges are or have been at some point in their careers members of the Federalist Society. They go to events. There's a big annual convention in Washington every year. And they have clout that groups on the left just don't. There isn't sort of a central organizing body for liberals and Democrats the way the Federalist Society has operated for the right.
Zoe, I want to talk about another recent appeals court confirmation. This time we're talking about Eric Miller, who recently joined the Ninth Circuit in Washington State. What do we know about him?
Eric Miller has been confirmed to a court that has been a pretty constant foe to President Trump since he took office. The Ninth Circuit covers all of the western United States, including, you know, California, Washington State, Arizona, Hawaii, Alaska. It just covers a huge swath of land and a huge number of people. And a number of the states tend to be more liberal if you think about, you know, California and Washington State. And it's where we've seen major legal challenges to the Trump administration trickle up to date. So trying to reshape that bench, which is very solidly comprised of judges confirmed under Democratic presidents, has been a goal for this administration. It's been slow going, but Eric Miller was just confirmed to a seat on that court. He was opposed by Democrats, by liberal groups, particularly tribal organizations who felt that his record indicated that he would rule against tribal rights and tribal sovereignty questions. But he has now been confirmed to that bench as well.
And that's considered quite rare, isn't it? I mean, his confirmation in that court?
It's been a struggle for this administration to get judges on. There were a lot of vacancies for seats from California, and the administration sort of went back and forth with that state's two Democratic senators for months, Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, to try and come up with nominees that represented maybe a compromise package. Those talks repeatedly fell through or just didn't happen at all. And the White House has pushed ahead with nominees over pretty strenuous opposition from Democratic home state senators. And that was true of Eric Miller. His home state senators from Washington State both opposed him. But regardless, the administration decided at a certain point that it was not going to negotiate and it was going to go ahead with the nominees that it wanted.
This seems to be a pattern in the administration that we're seeing so far as the lack of negotiation here. In terms of Miller's specific record with Native issues, let's talk a little bit about his background there, because there are several prominent tribal government groups that have come out against his nomination.
That's right. There are hundreds of federally recognized tribes who live within the Ninth Circuit's boundaries. And so cases that involve everything from which tribes are recognized by the U.S. government, tribal sovereignty issues, land use, water rights, issues that are really central and quite important to tribes come up through the Ninth Circuit. And it's unusual to see tribal organizations weigh in on nominees. They're not a frequent player in these confirmation fights. So it was notable and unusual for two major organizations to come out against Eric Miller's nomination, pointing to work that he's done on behalf of clients in his career as a private law firm attorney, going up against tribes in court.
Now, if, as you mentioned, progressive groups and Democrats don't seem to have an equivalent of a Federalist Society here, what do they have going for them in to sort of topple this strategy? Or can they even impact the strategy that we're seeing play out?
It's been quite difficult for Democrats to do much at all with respect to nominations. With a Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican in the White House, they just don't have the numbers. There have been a handful of nominees who have either withdrawn themselves or been pulled by the White House when issues have come up in their backgrounds, or they've performed, you know, publicly and poorly at their confirmation hearing. But those have really been more exceptions to the rule. So you see civil rights groups, LGBT rights groups, you know, trying to pressure certain more moderate Republican senators on particular judges on particular issues. But by and large, Republicans are sticking together when it comes to judges.
Zoe Tillman is the BuzzFeed News legal reporter. Thanks so much for joining us, Zoe.
Thanks for having me on.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.